Back to Your Average Podcast. My name is Ant.
Lewis.
This is Panda.
And we're a podcast where no topic goes unheard. Alright, so tonight we have our first very special guest, my good friend Chris. Say hi, Chris.
Hey everybody in podcast land.
Now, Chris is in law enforcement, and why don't you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Alright, well... I'm Oak Cliff, born and raised. Shout out Oak Cliff. I'm just saying, I started my career, actually, I guess, in the academy, a local academy in an undisclosed city in the nearby Metroplex area. And I've been a certified peace officer since 2009 and an active police officer for about 9 years now. And that's pretty much where I am right now. Old boot on the ground patrolman for my agency.
Pretty much. All right.
That's it.
So, now, the main reason why I wanted to bring you on here was because the FBI has been withholding vital information from the people. And I want to get someone in law enforcement their take on this situation, because this is a very hot topic in today's day and age.
All right.
About where the hell is Bigfoot at?
See, I don't, you know, I get that question a lot while I'm working. You know, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'll go to calls regularly, and, you know, it might start out as a domestic disturbance or something like that, but at the end of it, all they really want to know is where Bigfoot's at.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, well, I don't know why everybody keeps asking me where they're at, because I was, like, a week ago down at Fuel City getting my car washed or truck washed, and I saw Sasquatch himself, Bigfoot himself, right there in the corner by the taco stand. I'm just like, I don't know why everybody's wondering where he's at. I found
he's
him right
he's
now.
In plain sight.
He's right here.
He's right here. There's I'll no go, item.
Viral video, viral photo on Instagram and all these social media sites, and make some Bigfoot money off my photos and stuff.
You might have to. You might have to. We call him Chewy over here in Oak Cliff.
Chewy.
I'm just saying.
Tocayo.
Now, I just had a couple questions. So, when it comes to being a cop, you have to have your run-of-the-mill kind of situations that go on a day-in, day-out basis. Like, what are some of the most craziest things that you ever come across? Like, what the hell did I just do? Like, what the hell did I just run into today?
Well, let me start off by saying a few things first out. You got to keep in mind, I've been in law enforcement for a couple of years. I was told this a lot going into it in the academy, that this profession is going to change your way of thinking, your way of being, and everyone around you is going to look at you differently. And yeah, I honestly just thought, you know, I'm always going to be me no matter what, and I wouldn't let any other outside influences change my personality. But the fact of the matter is that it does. And I've been told I've been cynical. I've been told everything from every single name of the book. I've been called an asshole and everything like that. So I just kind of wanted to start off in saying that anything I ever say in response to a question, comment, concern is coming from a good place. Always will be coming from a good place. Always. No matter how bad it sounds or how negative it may sound or be directed as, it's always coming from a good place. Now, when you say crazy, a lot of that's going to come by what your definition of crazy is. What I might think is crazy probably is nowhere near that crazy conception that someone who's not in law enforcement would have. So, I mean, I guess you guys would have to clarify what y'all mean.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all want to give me some input on as far as what y'all mean by crazy.
So, I got a question just to break the ice. What's one of the nastiest, I mean, like, gross type things you ever seen in the field?
You know, and like I said, again, like I said, Lewis, like the craziest thing or nastiest thing, I guess it's your definition of it, because I've seen a lot of nasty stuff, and honestly, still, what gives me, you know, nausea and everything is when I see someone throw up in front of me. It sounds simpleton as fuck, but I mean, when I just see somebody throw up, that about gets me every time. And I've been to a couple of calls where, you know, some people have committed suicide, and you know, specifically like someone who's hung themselves, and probably one of the worst, or I guess nastier, I guess if you want to look at it, situations I've been in or seen or been exposed to, but still didn't compare to this one time I stopped out with a drunk dude, and he had thrown up. And I was about maybe one or two steps from literally stepping right into his nasty ass throw up. Mm. And when I almost did that, I about fucking died. Hey, I was hey, like, oh.
I mean, the only thing worse I ever run into at my job is maybe maggots or. I think all of us have some sort of like gross thing that we can run into. I mean, meat. So I mean, in my thing, I guess my perspective, what I saw was the nastiest thing I ever saw was, and it had to have been the tampon issue. And it wasn't a new tampon, bro. This was a used tampon. But the thing that got me was is that this place, the tampon was in a place where there was only men that worked there.
Bro.
So I guess it's other people that identify as...
I don't know. I mean,
Drew's just reminding me of something that happened at my house.
Wait, what?
I didn't hear about it.
Yes, and we still don't know whose it is.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to admit to that, probably.
Yeah, this one's going so great. So we threw a...
shit.
We threw a fucking Halloween party.
Yeah.
And we invited a whole bunch of people. And apparently some girl left a used pad with blood in it.
Could have been ketchup.
What, a pad?
That's what they needed to wipe their face with.
A used fucking pad on the floor, bro.
That's disgusting.
In the restroom, bro.
That's fucking... I mean, I don't even know.
Like, I mean, it's not disgusting as a sense that it's natural, but just disgusting as in,
yeah,
you don't have
exactly
respect,
yeah,
to dispose of that properly.
Yeah, it's a natural bodily function or whatever, but I mean, it's just your basic etiquette. I mean, you don't just go around, you know, like eating your food and not ever wiping your face, or
yeah,
you know, wiping your butt, leaving your toilet paper everywhere.
Well, now they have... Actually, there's artists out there right now that actually paint, that do paint with their menstrual blood. Have you ever seen that?
I've heard of that. I don't think I'd ever want to even smell that. So.
I don't know. That's got to be... Probably. I don't know. Apparently, except for a lot of money, too. But I don't know.
So, what's up, Panda? What's one of the things that you've seen that's gross you out?
That... I mean... Remember those pictures I sent in the group chat about my daughter?
I don't know, group chat or not. Oh, the throw-up one?
Yeah.
Bro, yeah, this food...
Like the nasty.
This
food, yes, it's vomit. I'm talking about
it. Yeah,
it's
yeah, and but there was chunk. You can identify the things that were in there. I'm like, bro, yeah, like, what's this?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is this? I mean, I don't have a kid. Like I said, I don't have a kid. But I do not really look forward to the throw-up. Like, just the... Dad,
vomit,
I just threw
up.
Like, can you clean me up? Like...
That's just...
Yeah, sure.
It was so... I remember a long time ago... I mean, you just said the kid and the throw-up thing. A long time ago, I was taking care of one of my nephews. And, well, it was supposed to be me and my fiancé taking care of him, or babysitting him for the night.
Right.
And he was in our bedroom. And it was just... It was one of the nasty... It was just baby vomit, but it was the nastiest thing, too, because he was sitting there just crying all night because he didn't have his mom there or whatever, and... Obviously, my fiance fell asleep, so I was the only one really taking care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just crying, and then out of nowhere, he just stopped. He cried for maybe, like, I think 5-10 minutes, and then he just stopped. And then I was like, okay, this dude calm down. Little dude's going to chill out now for the rest of the night. Hell no.
Right.
He stayed quiet because he just, after that, just fucking threw up. Like, everything just came out, and you could see everything he had eaten in the past couple hours. Just like, I about threw up. That'd have been bad.
Throw up, I mean, it's not... I don't know. That's gotta be one of the worst things you can encounter, especially if you get thrown up on. Like, you ever been at the club? And there's some one night, not even well.
Thrown up on, a step in it.
Yeah, step in it, whatever. You know, it's in a the men's restroom, like probably some dude fucking puked all over the fucking toilet, completely missed the toilet. It's all over the fucking walls, but just doing that. But I remember when I went down to Austin one time, and we were waiting in this line to get inside this bar, and for some reason something just told me like, hey, look behind you, bro, watch out. And I just looked behind me, and all of a sudden I just see this kid, and he just grabbed the trash can that was outside, and he just saw chunks flying in the air, and I was like, fuck, bro. I was almost there. That was almost me. Like, that could have been my face.
That could have been so, me.
Yeah, that's one of the craziest things. But so you're on the beat. You're doing your patrolling. You're doing, you know, this and that. Like, you ever ran into anything like, you know, like terrifying, like you know, like scary or terrifying or something like that? Like, you actually felt like in danger yourself?
There's been a couple of times. I tell you, one of the one times that still to this day, this happened about 4 years ago, and this is still one of probably the scariest times that I've ever. And it's one of those things where, you know, you're going through the whole deal, but you don't really realize what the intention was, what was supposed to, or I guess the intended result was to have happened until after the fact, and then you're just sitting in your car, and you're just like, what the fuck just fucking happened? And so, anyways, so I go, the dispatcher say, hey, there's an accident up north of your town. It's not in your jurisdiction, but you go over there and at least hold on the scene because it's a pretty bad. It was a two-vehicle wreck, one rollover, and I think two ejected people. There's four people in the car. It was two adults, two kids, like toddler kids. And so I remember getting there and I could see the truck that was in the middle of the road. You could see how everything pretty much went down. It was the truck heading southbound. Was drunk, reportedly. It was a drunk driver. I could smell it by the time I got help. That's how drunk he was. I could smell it just in the air as he breathed because he was hurt.
Right.
And you could see that he had hit another car head on, at like an angle head on sort of. Spun out of the car out. That other car went off the road, and the people flew out. Well, I remember getting there. I could see the guy in the truck, and I'm looking to see where everybody else is at. I see the lady. There's a lady laying down on the ground. I don't think she lived. I think she was kind of stable at that moment, but I don't think she ended up making it. But the husband and the two kids were already getting seen by medical. And so, anyways, long story short, I'm talking to the guy that's in the truck, and it's a Hispanic dude. He only speaks English, as his English is really, or only speaks Spanish, his English is really rough. And he's obviously drunk. You already know when someone's got the liquid courage in them because of how they talk and just talk shit for no reason really in them. So I'm trying to ask him, I'm trying to find out what's going on. He's talking in English, you know, obviously, whatever. The dude has, I mean, obviously it hasn't been established yet that he knows that I speak Spanish. Anyways, I'm asking around, you know, waiting for troopers and all these other guys to show up on scene. And I'm talking to one of the witnesses, guys, he lived literally right off across the street from the highway where he said he saw everything happen because the drunk driver was trying to say that there was friends with him and they all ran off and left him there because he was hurt. And so that was his whatever. And so the witness guy, he came up to me and he asked if I spoke Spanish. I said, yeah. And I'm talking to this witness. He's telling me everything that he saw. And I'm literally doing this right where this guy is in earshot. I'm literally right next to the truck. He can hear everything that I'm saying. I'm talking to him in Spanish. And I can see him starting to get a little aggravated, but he's hurt, so I'm just like, oh, whatever, he's just drunk, you know. Drunk people are always aggro. And so, and I'm talking to him, and I'm not realizing what he's doing, and that's where I fucked up, because I should have still, even though I would have felt that, he was obviously bleeding, he was bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
Hurt. There was something either definitely out of place or fractured on it, something, his arms were like, something was, he was hurt pretty bad. Well, anyways, I didn't pay attention to what he was doing. And then, you know, looking back at it now, I remember him shuffling through the glove box. Cause he had gotten hit so hard he wasn't in the driver's seat anymore. He was in the passenger side seat.
Oh shit! He totally flipped.
Like he spun around pretty good, and he didn't have a seatbelt on. Obviously, almost never do. And so he ended up in the passenger side, like literally up against him. And the passenger side door was kind of crushed in a little bit. The driver's side door was the only thing that was kind of still It was still intact. It was messed up, but it was able to be opened. Right. The other door wouldn't open. It was jammed, but
it was so functional.
It was kind of, it was concave, so it was indented in, like, it was dented inwards into the car. So he was just laying up on it, all bloody and everything. But I wasn't paying attention to him looking at the glove box, and I'm walking around to the other side because I see a trooper at, I'm not gonna say his name, but he still works. I have to talk to him regularly. Well, I say regularly enough. And so I'm talking to him, and I'm like, hey. I mean, keep in mind that the windows are all busted on both sides, so he, no matter what, this guy can hear everything I'm saying, and that's another fucking guy. I should have, you know, been a little bit more discreet about it. He probably wouldn't hear what I was trying to tell the trooper. So I'm talking to the trooper, and I'm not paying attention to what this guy's doing. It's obvious, like, it's obvious as all fucking get up that he is fucking looking for something.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I, you know, that was my fuck up. I should have told him, hey, you need to stop moving, stop whatever. Even though he's hurt, you know, you still have to be like, hey, hurt people can still kill you.
Yeah.
No matter how hurt you, they can still fucking kill me.
Yeah.
And so, and I learned that. I had learned that in hindsight. So anyway, so I'm talking to the trooper right outside the door, and I see him shuffling. I'm not even telling him anything. So I'm talking to the guy, like, hey, I heard a witness. He saw everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to give you a statement and everything. And he's hearing me tell him all this, and obviously he's shuffling or whatever. So as I'm talking to the trooper, like, literally, like, that door where he got hit, it was indented into where it wouldn't open, but there was a gap from the car and where it actually meets when it closes up. So I'm talking to the trooper, and a fucking gun fell right in front, like, right in between both of us, out of fucking nowhere. Just like, it literally fell, like, I can hear him shuffling, and then a gun fucking falls right in front of me and the trooper.
So how much time has passed since the initial, like, when he first got on, and you're talking to this guy, like, and he's doing all this shuffling, like during those moments, like, how much time is
from the moment that he realized that I was talking to the witness and realized that I spoke Spanish and I can hear everything that's going on?
Yeah.
Not even a minute.
Really?
Like, not even a minute or two.
Jesus.
Where I'm talking to this guy, and then, like, I'm talking to the trooper, a fucking gun falls right in front of me, and so, you know, you see gun, you see, everybody's like, holy shit, you know, one gun comes out, 5 or 10 guns will come out of there.
Right.
So, at that point, there was already 3 troopers, I think 3 or 4 deputies, mm-hmm. and myself, already on scene. So, the gun falls in front, me and the trooper drop down on this guy, and then everybody hears me yelling in Spanish, you know, suelta, you know, manos arriba, no se mueva, you know, another couple other choice words I won't say that I said. And so, I draw, and it was the worst thing ever. Because it sucks, because, you know, you got a gun that just came out of no fucking where, and then you have 2 troopers drawing down on one guy. There's 3 troopers across from me,
uh-huh.
drawing down on the guy. I know they're trying to draw down on the guy, but
it looks like
I'm inside. Yeah, so yeah. I'm looking at this guy who just dropped the gun in front of me, and then I'm looking at 3 other guns facing me.
Yeah.
And then there's 2 other guys catty-cornering me, facing and drawing down. So I'm just like, holy shit, like, that, hey, I'm almost like, you know, manos arriba. I was like, I'm almost putting my fucking gun. I was like, don't fucking shoot me, bro. I'm just trying to exist. I'm like, fucking, you know. And so at the end of it, you know, I was talking to this guy. And when that happened, one of the other deputies, a big old dude, he goes over there, and he about ripped that damn door off. If he didn't, like, he about ripped it off.
Yeah.
And he just picked that dude up, put him in... He was already hurt. He hadn't been seen yet by the medical guys. So he put him in cuffs. The guy's all fucking yelling because something's broke, obviously, on that dude. Picks him up, carries him in the middle of the roadway, and just plops him on the ground. Just plop. And he's yelling. He's like, you got the wrong guy, man. All, you know, broken English. And so I'm asking him, I was like, what the hell with the gun, man? What are you going to do with that? You're going to use it or what? And he's like, no, I use it to hunt deer, is what he said in Spanish.
What kind of gun was it?
One of the Smith & Wesson, like, little Sigmas or... Little cheapy Smith & Wesson type guns.
$300 throwaway guns.
Yeah, little $300-$400
throwaway
guns.
Cheapy little throwaway. You know, that's one of my worst fears, is that if I'm ever in a gunfight with somebody and he actually gets a good round off of me, and come to find out that it was a shitty ass fucking gun that shot me, I'm like, you know what, bro, I'm down.
You better say.
Can you use my gun to kill me with? Because I don't want to get shot by this fucking
High Point.
Yeah. Oh,
High Point's coming back, bro. I do not want to get killed by a High Point.
I'm like, bro, like, damn.
If I go down by any blaze of glory, I want to get taken out with like the highest quality.
Highest quality, man.
Something. Like, something nicer than a fucking High Point.
I think I'd rather say I got raped or something than get killed by one of those.
Now, that's a whole other. No, that's messed up. That's just messed up altogether.
Sit in your corner.
Yeah, oh, but that was probably one of the, I guess if you, by all definitions, crazy, scary, whatever, but that was, you know, looking at it in hindsight, I was like, this motherfucker was about ready to fucking shoot me with it,
yeah.
You know, and I was just like, just because he ended up hearing that, I fucking knew what the hell the deal was. So.
Right.
So. That was probably one of the crazier ones I've had.
So, I guess, is that enough of the fun questions, or... Are we going to get right to the point?
Hey, man, yeah, if you want to go into the meat and potatoes, let's go for it.
I'm a guest here. You guys can ask me whatever you guys want.
All right. I got a question.
Yeah.
Sure. How do you feel about the chief for Dallas?
Can you elaborate a little bit more? Because there's a lot easier.
Why do I keep forgetting her name?
Chief Renee Hall is the chief of Dallas.
How do you feel about her? Like, do you feel like she's doing good, or do you feel like she's doing bad?
I don't mind answering that at all, but again, I'm going to preface it with my views and opinions don't necessarily
that's
reflect
what we
that.
Want, bro.
Of any agency or anyone, want. This is my personal own opinion. Now, the thing about any chief of police that's going to go into Dallas, of all agencies, the Dallas Police Department, that agency is so huge, there's so many issues that have been ongoing for so long that no matter what, they're going to be going into some sort of shit show regardless. Mm-hmm. Now, Chief Renee Hall, she came from Detroit. She was like the assistant chief over there in Detroit Police Department. And she, if I'm not mistaken, she's only been the chief of police like maybe a year, a little over a year, maybe at that. And for any agency, a year, even a year and a half, that's still a little bit, that's still too little of a time frame to know.
To get everything under control.
To determine whether or not a chief of police is actually being effective. Now, you can see the momentum that they're building right off the get-go.
Right.
Now, my opinion is, if she's trying to do everything good for this city, she can only do so much because she's just the chief of police. When it comes to city government, your city council and your city manager have a lot, and your mayor have a lot to do with how you in that position can function with what you're given.
Right.
You really have to have the support of all your higher ups to make sure that you can be successful too. That's true in any organization, though, really.
Yeah. And see that just kind of piggyback off of that. I mean, that's just one of the things that. Not a lot of people really focus on these days no more. It's more politics on a national level rather than, you know, a local level. Like a lot of local people really don't spend a lot of time on just what's going on in your city council, what's going on in your districts, and that's something that if there's something that needs to be done in your community, you go talk to your representative, your district representatives. You go talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, see if there's anything, something that you can do. Like I want to help my community. I want to do this. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Can we do something about it? You know. So.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that because it's funny because people will, and I'm not political at all. I stay away from politics. Politics are for politicians, in my opinion. But it more people are concerned. And as they should be, they're concerned with their national politics and what our president does and says in the next dumb Twitter post he makes or whatever the hell, versus what is going on in their local government. Your local government, that's everything locally is what is affecting you immediately. That's affecting you immediately. Like the people, I don't know how many times there's not enough people in cities that go out and actually vote for their local council members.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean,
look, it's the turnout is
kind of like that fucking video that's on YouTube that were fucking people from California protesting the Alabama law, the abortion law. And it's like it doesn't affect you, you should worry about what is affecting you directly
inside the stadium.
If you have like, you know, is say you're going like through, like, I mean, election season just passed, but say you're going through like election season and you're seeing like the majority of your council members are like saying that they're more for building just nothing but like skyscraper condominiums in your area, mm-hmm. in parts where, you know, it used to be more of like a neighborhood or old town type, you know, with it's, housing and
yeah, and you see there's a lot of like, I don't want to sound too like bold, but like when you see a lot of ignorant people saying like, well, only reason why this is happening to me is because someone up here who's in Washington or something like that or something. But when it comes down to, when it boils down to it, it's actually like, no, that's your state side, that's your district, that's your city, you know, people that are doing that stuff.
Yeah, you know? Your cities have their own powers. Your counties are allowed their own powers. Your states, that's what I mean. It's all in the Constitution. Your states are designated with their own powers.
States' rights. Yeah,
everything is. You know what I mean. You have all that. But that's and a lot of people are too, like, you know, you think about it. Even when you're electing for a president, like, you know, your vote goes towards the popular vote. You have the electoral college shit. Kind of already, it's not like whenever you vote for the president, the ultimate like decision is made by every single person's individual vote. It doesn't work like that. It's mm-hmm. made by, like, it's determined by the electoral college. That's why it's like, that doesn't really affect you like you would voting for a certain council member or a mayor that has the vision of your city going more towards like it's a neighborhood city, not mm-hmm. just putting up skyscrapers everywhere and just creating eyesores and creating a bunch of traffic in your city that just makes it pretty much an annoying loser.
So when it comes to like you know, Chief Hall, like, do you think it we can't put all the, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying that, well, it's because she's from Detroit and Detroit has a huge crime rate. And do you think it's fair to put that on her right now? Whereas, like, I think it takes a huge community kind of.
You're stepping on my next question. I had a good next question. To join in your topic.
Well, we'll count yours ass, and then you can go yours. Yeah. Like yours is said, and then you can go in and with yours too, I guess. Yeah. Before I answer, I guess.
What I'm saying is, like, do you think it's just fair that we should involve the entire community as in for trying to help her out, like in trying to give her as much, I guess, hands on, you know, hands to help out.
The whole thing about it, I mean, that's why it's called a community. It takes people together, working together, to be able to make anything good come out of it, because one person alone is not going to be able to carry the weight of anything.
And see, like, I feel that's the scrutiny that she's kind of facing
right now. Yeah, she, I'm not going to lie. Like, okay, like, she, I don't know exactly where her mindset is on what she feels the culture of her police department needs to be. The culture of your police department has a lot to do with the way your guys are going to respond to you. The community members will react to, you know, just when you're, especially when you're in that position, every little word you say, people will hang on to that thing and run with it.
Right.
So you may have said something that you may not have completely wholeheartedly meant in a certain fashion, but somebody else takes it a different way and go with it. Mm-hmm. That's a separate topic. But my thing is, it takes everybody to help her, because she's not going to do it by herself.
Right.
No one is ever successful by herself. Yeah. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody in the history of any leadership position has ever been able
not
to do it.
Not even Jesus Christ.
No. But the thing about it is, like the whole thing, and it comes out like any organization in general, the culture of which all your employees work and live in is going to be determined by the type of leadership you have. And if you have somebody, and especially that type of position that needs to, like, it's very critical, everything that they do and say,
mm-hmm.
that's going to determine whether or not you can build momentum to fix the problems you're having, or just pretty much keep rolling in the same problems you got. Yeah.
That kind of sounds like the hood rule, where they say that no snitching. But it's like, if you don't snitch, you're not doing anything for your community. You know, sometimes you gotta get involved.
I mean, the whole no snitching thing, and I don't know, it's kind of like a pride thing too, but I mean, it's, you gotta pretty much determine what's gonna be better, either you living in an environment that's gonna be better for you and your family, or your pride, because that's pretty much what it comes down to. If you're not necessarily, and I don't really like the word snitch, I mean, you're pretty much, Snitching, it to me, is more so when you're like, you're hearing all these rumors and gossips and you're just going around to tell it just to start shit up. That's what I think snitching is. Whenever you're actually using information that you have obtained from somebody and using it to make it a positive fucking outcome, I don't think that's fucking snitching. But my opinion, shit, I tell people all day long, like, and people that I work with that, you know, like, the other cops, it's like, you know, I'll tell recruits all the time that I train all the time, it's like, if you ever do something out here that's illegal, shady, or even just would make us look bad, I don't give a damn about any of this whole code shit. I'm gonna fucking snitch.
Yeah, that was on spring too.
I'm gonna fucking tell. I'm gonna run and tell that to everybody.
I'm gonna tell on that ass.
Yeah, but I mean, it comes down to that whole answer, you know, like the chief of Dallas can only do so much without the community, you know.
Yeah,
it goes the same way with a police officer. You know, the police officer can provide you with so much service and so much, you know, protection that you gotta be able to help yourself. You know?
Yeah, the people that live in the community that you patrol in or work in or whatever, they're your eyes and ears, because you can't be everywhere at once.
Right.
You know, so.
So it's important just to kind of build that fabric within, like if an officer has a certain district that he normally patrols and whatnot, it's important for that officer to build that sort of fabric within the community that, you know, just to make a difference, you know.
It's hard to do that in this time and age of policing. It can be, depending on the city you work in,
yeah,
and the type of people you're around.
Yeah.
In my opinion, is you can make friends with just about anybody if you really care to.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's some people don't, some people do, and but yeah. I think that part of it's a little easier said than done.
And then just to refresh go back to my question, I guess I wanted to ask you, and while with all this, the death rate, all the homicides going up here in Dallas. You know, I know it's probably not all the Dallas chief over there.
Right.
But what do you think could be done or she could do to put this rate at a slower pace or to make it go down the kind?
That question to actually narrow down with a specific answer is going to be kind of hard to do, because whenever you have an HC in a city that big, and especially when your resources are that limited, the thing about it, in my opinion, you know, you may not have, especially as a leader, you may not have all the resources. But in life, and I've come to learn this in life just in general, it ain't about the resources you have as much as how resourceful you can be. So she may not have all the money in the city to fix every single problem, but she can reallocate different positions, maybe, you know, temporary. I don't know. There's a lot of things you can try to like do that can involve you not having to spend so much money or use so much money to be able to solve the problems. That's what I'm saying. Like, to specifically answer what she can do, that's kind of hard. But some of the basic things that I know that she could start off with would definitely be putting more boots on the ground, because a lot of the guys that, everybody sees the news articles that they make all the time, and I think that's, in my opinion, is probably like one of the worst things you can do. But I get transparency at all. But I think this is another topic.
Saying that we're just shorting my cops.
I think the worst thing you can go out there is just go ahead and put out to the city, hey, there's less cops on the street, which means more criminals can probably get away with more shit if they wanted to. You know what I mean? That's kind of the worst thing you can do. Yeah. But I get it's about transparency, and it's also about, you know, like, yeah, a lot of people see this. It's good and bad, because you know you can probably influence all these little shitheads out here that are wanting to commit more crimes, and they see there's like, you know, very limited officers on the streets. But then there's also people that see like, hey, there's not a lot of cops, and I could go work for Dallas, and you know, maybe make a difference and stuff like that. There's a lot of guys that, you know, they're ready to do that.
Right.
And so, I just think that to answer that question is hard. But starting off, yeah, you got to put more guys on patrol. Yeah. That's probably one of the biggest things. You start taking these guys that have been riding desks for many years because of their schedule or because, you know, they do detective work or whatever the case is, get some of these guys out of the office and start putting them on patrol. That's the quickest thing you can do.
They're now getting help with the DPS now.
I can tell you right now, like, I work with troopers quite often enough, and if the situation in Dallas ever got bad to where they really needed DPS, I can tell you right now, you don't want DPS in your neighborhood. You do not.
For real?
Okay.
You do not.
It's gonna be like, well, it's gonna be like,
now, I'm not trying to speak negative on DPS. Let me say, I'm not trying to speak negative on DPS. But
wait, what are we talking about?
The Department of Public Safety, state troopers. State troopers. State troopers.
Do you mean that meow?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want them right meow.
You don't want them.
You don't ever.
Hurry up, meow.
Yeah.
You got a question, meow?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it, meow.
Two motherfuckers.
Yeah, let's hear it, meow.
All right, meow. Okay.
Let's hear it, meow.
So I got two. Oh, apparently, no, it's not a question, but apparently, DPS now is joining Dallas into.
I think Governor Abbott offered the assistance from state troopers to go help Dallas and patrols. Like, he's offered it before, and they, I think they, I don't know if they just either declined it because they didn't want to, or just kind of managed to stay afoot before, or like afloat. I guess, just managed to stay afloat without having to need other help. But I love DPS. I think DPS is probably one of the best agencies the state has to offer. State itself.
Okay.
But so, yeah, it's. Up. Yeah,
let me get to my question because
you lose your thought.
I do got two questions. The DPS, state troopers, do you feel like that's like, how can I put it? Like, me personally, like, when I see them, I'm like, oh shit, that's daddy right there. Cause,
oh, yeah, like the pinnacle of law enforcement. Like if you were going to be any position in law enforcement, you want to be a state trooper. Nah, not necessarily. Like, it depends on how you look at it. Like, now,
do you feel like, do you put them in the higher standard? There you go. Or in a bigger pedestal?
I don't, because I work in law enforcement.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys that are, like, green to the field, and some of these, like, new guys coming out that will do that. I'm not gonna lie, when I first started in law enforcement, I was a reserve police officer. I didn't know a fucking thing, I knew academy stuff. You know the book stuff, you know what I mean, the street smarts, but you have to apply all this
you
stuff.
You know, the bullfrog hug, asshole.
You gotta apply what you learn, and at that time I hadn't been able to, you know, nobody had really taught me how to apply stuff yet. I was and I remember running into the first trooper I met. Thank God it was a good experience too, because it was, before that, whenever I did ride-alongs and I'd see troopers, they were kind of assholes, I'm not gonna lie. And the first time I ran into my, first, I'm not going to say his name, but I ran into this, he still works for DPS too. First time I ran into him, he was so down to earth, taught me a lot of shit, like some real shit. I was like, damn, that's pretty fun. I learned a lot just in like an hour or two training with the guy.
Yeah.
And those guys, when I first started, I was just like, damn, like, these are some bad motherfuckers right here. Like, they are the pinnacle of fucking law enforcement. And I don't feel like that anymore, because I've dealt with some really idiots, like some really dumb, I'm too harsh. That's going to be harsh.
Unorthodox.
Some unorthodox state, like, practicing state troopers. It's just like, yeah. But, to this day, the only guys that I actually see that are some bad motherfuckers are the Texas Rangers. Those are the only guys that I'll see.
There's a difference between state trooper and
Texas Rangers are the investigators for the Department of Public Safety, but they are the, like, highest trained, highest everything, like the most decorated detectives.
Bro,
in any field of law enforcement.
Have you ever met a Texas Ranger?
Yeah, two.
Two of them?
I've met them too on a certain incident, and I can't talk about that one, but yeah. I met them on an incident, and maybe it's just me over romanticizing it all, but whenever I saw them walk on scene,
did you get starstruck?
They were every bit of badassery that I've ever heard.
Did
anybody
they carry
say
revolvers?
Yes. No, not revolvers. Now that got played out back in time. No, they, those guys, you'll know them because their standard uniform is white long sleeve shirt, cowboy hat, jeans that, you know, like a nice color that stand out. Their belts, you know, every officer has duty gear.
Right.
They don't carry the full on duty gear, but they have custom leather fucking belts that
so
are
pretty much like
engraved
as a cop.
With their names.
Yeah.
Custom leather holsters. They carry standard issue 1911s. Chrome plated, pearl grips. Their badge are like the old Mexican pesos. That's what their badges are like. And then those pesos are on their grip handles.
Right.
Their badges are the pesos or whatever.
Yeah.
And just, you know, everything. Like, whenever I just remember meeting them, they were just like, and the two guys that I met, that's why I had a good experience with them. were like the most down to earth guys I've ever met.
Right.
But every you see them walk on scene, and you just know those are the motherfuckers you don't fuck with.
Yeah.
That's it's the way Damn. They carry themselves, man. Just.
Did they have beards? Did they?
No, both those guys were clean shaven.
Clean shaven.
Yeah, both those guys they weren't like walking.
So they're like the Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing about that like, the show is the Walker Texas Ranger, he made that shit real fucking cool, but now, like, I mean, it's the same concept, like, you know, you go and investigate stuff like that. You don't go roundhouse kicking every motherfucker you meet.
Yeah,
I mean,
come on!
You don't just walk on, it's not like, you know, I wasn't expecting them to walk on scene, then all of a sudden I hear, bam, like, I don't hear
the eyes over Ranger.
The unsuspected stranger. Yeah, I didn't hear all that shit, but I'm just like, yeah, when they walked on scene, it's just, they exude that fucking badassery that everybody fucking talks about.
I mean, like, oh, hold on. So when I think of Texas Rangers, the first thing I think of is, I think of, like the top, what's the Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing I think of when I think of Texas Rangers. I'm like, you know, that's the top shit that you can reach.
Well, the top in the military is Army Ranger, right?
Well, it depends on what branch you're talking about. Because, you have an Army... I know some military stuff, and I don't know too much of it, but I know, like, in the Army, you have the Army Rangers, you have, the Green Berets or something like that, and you have Special Forces. Those are, like, the three whatever that are up there that are recognized as, like, yeah, those motherfucking badass. And then Navy, you got, obviously, the SEALs. I forget what it is in Air Force. There's one... I forget what it's some kind of whatever, but the Texas Rangers for law enforcement, it's probably like the equivalent to like what the SEALs are to the Navy, right. And you know, like that's the pinnacle of like if you're a badass, you're a SEAL. Like.
So I guess to get to my second question, do you feel like getting the DPS involved is gonna make a bigger difference in Dallas with the death rate, the homicide rate?
That's another thing, because the thing about it is like law enforcement already is political enough. Like the city of Dallas, when it comes to taking care of, or I guess not taking care of, but like dealing with issues that probably shouldn't be as political as they make it. They make it very political all the time, anyways. Mm-hmm. So much like how, and I'm not gonna delve into this, but. And I don't know, I've had a ton of state troopers tell me how, I don't know if y'all remember for like a couple years back when all the stuff with the cartels and stuff was like leaking in, and then Governor Abbott was sending down extra security to the border to help out secure the border or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Well, that's what a lot of the troopers that back then, back in like 2000 and like, I say like 13, 12, 14, whatever the hell, that a lot of the time of the month they were required to go down to the border at least 1 or 2 weeks out of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So it was constantly moving. There was no set schedule. You guys would go work patrol, but then they'd go straight to the border for like 2 weeks or whatever. So I've heard many troopers tell me that like that shit was pointless because they were not allowed to do, and then not to even make it sound like it's, you know, like they weren't allowed to get away or something like not like that. It's just that they weren't allowed to like handle certain issues because they were on a federal level. Like there were numerous times that I've had state troopers tell me like, yeah, we'd be on the border and we see a whole boat of guys just crossing across the Rio Grande, but we weren't allowed to detain them. We weren't allowed to do anything because it was a federal thing. So and it's one of those things, like, you know, and even if they were at that border, like at that, you know, doing like helping out and beefing patrols or whatever, and they saw like bundles of weed or somebody moving, you know, dope across the border.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to really do anything because that's an ICE thing. So really all they were there for was just to kind of like, hey, if ICE gets in a shootout or something like that, you guys are extra guns on the ground. That's pretty much all they ended up being. They were pretty much there to kind of like function as a scarecrow. They were just kind of there to, like, if they see police, they say, oh my god, maybe they freak out, and then, you know what I mean? They were more like a deterrent. They weren't really there to like be active in stopping a lot of the stuff that there was going. I mean, I understand that, but then I don't. And again, that's the politics in it, you know what I mean? Like, do you really want a state agency interfering with federal affairs? You do and you don't sometimes, depending on what the case is, you know what I mean? So.
But, I mean, wouldn't a state agency be able to mess in a city agency?
Yeah, they could, because they're technically their jurisdictions. Are, just like any peace officer in the state of Texas, their jurisdiction is the entire state. But the thing about it is that they're only going to be able to do so much in Dallas as they are allowed to do.
Yeah.
So, like, if you had a couple of troopers that are going to be like, hey, I'm going to go in this area, and, you know, I see John Q. Citizen over here who was obviously doing a dope deal right in front of me, and I'm going to go bust him. Now, if they did that, they started cracking down on guys like that, and if for whatever reason they didn't like the fact that, you know, they see somebody fighting with one of the officers, and they're like, hey, motherfucker, drop it, and they don't like the fact that they motherfucked them. You know, and then they're in, and then yeah, but that happened. I'm telling you, they're almost like their hands are tied behind their backs, and it's just like, why do you even have us here? If we can't take care of police work like we kind of need to, and it's not to say that
here?
Yeah, it's like, it's not to say that they need to be, they're not going to be like assholes per se to everybody and just be shitty to people. It's not that. It's just some people. There's a time where you have to be rough. Sometimes you have to be, you know what I mean? You can talk a lot of people in handcuffs. Sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
That's just the truth.
Yeah. So, I mean, go into that whole handcuff thing, just jump off that. Like, there's a whole bunch of things, like, I mean, just, I guess just as localized, like, with people who are, I guess, for lack of the better, most, like, scared of getting stopped by a cop. Like, what is, like, some sort of, like, etiquette that, I mean, I know it's like kind of a cliche, but like, as a cop, you know, what do you want to see, like, whenever you go to a strike? Because I know you're fearing for your life. I mean, there's always there's always a threat of something happening to you.
Right.
Like, what are some of the things that you would, you know, encourage, you know, citizens that,
like, your typical mom thing for your,
yeah,
well, yeah, the mom to get the kids to settle down.
The cop's gonna thank you.
Oh, God, that's a whole other subject, but I can't fucking stand it when people do that. But anyways, well, I'll go on to that later. But to answer your question, Anthony, real quick, I'm going to preface this all by explaining what's going on with the officer before they even go and talk to anybody once they stop somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a lot of variables that are going on whenever you're dealing with somebody. And I don't like that a lot of people use the terminology routine traffic stops. Routine traffic stops. I don't like that terminology because there's nothing routine about it. It's all a fucking coin flip. Exactly. All a fucking coin flip. You could be walking up to a car and not even have the slightest clue that they probably just fucking murdered somebody. You know, and so anyways, to preface it all, like I said, you have a lot of the radio going on, and I have an earpiece, so, like, I'm hearing every bit of everybody talking directly into my ear.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all that. You have people on the highway that are just kind of driving by that are not even giving a fuck, you know what I mean? If you're about to stop them, they're just going by.
You gotta think about Bigfoot, too, coming out the fucking
You gotta think
woods.
About motherfucking Sasquatch coming out and punching you in the fucking eye. Because he's fucking aggro about nobody believing in him and shit.
So you want to talk to a motherfucker?
Yeah, I'll fucking teach you to fuck take my Jack Slinks, motherfucker. You know, so you gotta think about it. Like, I remember, and I know the biggest thing, just to start off, the biggest thing people get annoyed with me whenever I'm doing my traffic stop is that they'll be like, can you move that light? Because the way I position my car, it's all the light is on that car.
Right.
I want to see what's in that car. I want to see what's going to potentially happen there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like, am I quote-unquote blinding you with my light? Yeah, it's fucking light, and it's dark outside, you know what I mean? But it's for my benefit.
Yeah.
Because, and like, I tell people,
I would say benefit, I would say safety.
Safety.
Yeah.
It's a benefit, and it's also a safety issue. I mean, but safety is also a benefit that you get, you know, safety, you don't always get to have that opportunity, because
mm-hmm.
no matter what, you throw anything that says police on you, you're a fucking target. But anyways, so stopping them, you know, going on, and, you know, I tell people all the time, it's like, you know, I don't know if you're a murderer, I don't know if you're gonna kill me, I don't know if you're gonna hurt me. And people all the time will tell me, well, I wouldn't do that, why would you think I could do that to you? And I'm like, yeah, I've seen people get killed with like a lot less, with more ease than what you're saying. Yeah, I wholeheartedly believe every time I saw somebody,
a fucking dog kill people. Fuck.
I wholeheartedly believe that every time I saw somebody, yes, they can 100% kill me. Because it really doesn't take much to kill somebody.
No. Two inches in the right place is always is there.
Exactly. It does not take much.
Yep.
But anyways, speaking from my personal opinion, what I want to see is as soon as I hit the lights, don't like brake check me. That shit will fucking just like make me like, fuck, I got a brake.
Oh, shit.
I know how many times, yeah.
That shit happened when I rode along with you.
He fucking did go with me one day. I forgot about that. Lewis did ride along with me a long time ago. I forgot about that.
I remember too, because he almost ran the red light, but in order for him to, I guess, to avoid the ticket and not run the red light, he slammed on his brakes and he had to slam on his brakes, so we were right behind him.
Yeah.
And everything flew forward. And he was Chris was like pissed. Like, I'd rather him run that red light and potentially hurting us and himself by us slamming into him.
Yeah.
Just to avoid that ticket.
I forgot all about the that long time ago.
Yeah.
Things are different now. There it used to be. Anyways, don't if I'm falling behind you, like, most of the time the officer's gonna be either close enough to be able to see your license plates because they're giving all the information to dispatch. They're trying to let them know, hey, I'm about to stop this car at this location, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So don't brake check, because I mean, and it's not even it. Nobody's, as far as I know, nobody's ever done it intentionally. But the thing is, I say that because, like, I'm like, don't necessarily brake check, but don't hit your brakes hard, because, you know, as soon as you see, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a cop, but as soon as I see those red and blues come on, like, one or two times that it has happened since I've been a cop, I'm about to get stopped, I'm about to get a ticket, too. I get the exact same reaction everybody else gets.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, the thing is, don't hit your brakes, because that's just going to cause a wreck, and then you got a whole set of issues other than that. But pull over completely to the right, because, you know, a lot of people, and the thing is, you have to do this. They teach us in your driving classes as you're growing up to get your license and stuff like that. Like, when you get stopped, you're supposed to pull over to the highway. A lot of people probably either they just don't know, or they just, you know, been conditioned to, like, you know, they just know you have to do that, but they don't really know that it is straight up state law that you have to move over to the right side of the highway or anywhere you're going. It's not like you move over because you just, it's a nice thing to do. No, it's, you do that because it's a state law for you to do that.
Yeah.
But anyways, if you're, say, on a highway, highway's probably one of the worst spots to be in. If you're on a highway, get on the shoulder and get as far fucking over as you can. Get as, way over as you can.
On the fucking ground.
If you can get on the ground, get on the ground. Because most people will stop literally just one inch over that line, or one, you know, one thing, just a small distance away from the line.
Like, still blocking lane, or
No. I'm talking about, like, say you have your two lanes on, or whatever lane you got the actual shoulder, the emergency, you know, on the right of it.
Right.
I'm talking about pull over. Even if you just get, I'm talking about pull all the way over to the right, as furthest to the right as you possibly can, because it's just, there's no space to walk in, and people are driving by, and there's a law that says, whenever you see an emergency vehicle on the side of the road,
bro, I always obey that law, bro.
You're one of those fucking guys.
I always go over to the next lane, and if I really can't get over there, then I break all the way down to, like, I think, what is it, like 50 or 40?
It's 20 miles miles below your posted speed limit. So if you're 50, you gotta go 30. If you're 60, you gotta go fucking 40.
Yeah.
So, but people don't do that, and I don't know how many times I tell you, like, I'll be in the middle of a traffic stop, and I'll see cars coming, and I'm just, like, waving. I'm, like, pointing at myself. I'm right here, and people are still just going down there.
I've tried not to do it. If I see a police officer, right, I try to get to the other lane.
Yeah, preferably that's what I would want.
Yeah.
Like, somebody,
I would try to get over to the other lane, but it, fucking, sometimes it'll be like pack or assholes don't want to let you in or something.
In that case, just
I purposely get right on their fucking door. Like, I could probably smell the gum that he's chewing. Fuck that motherfucker. Like, I'd rather hit you they hit a fucking police officer.
I appreciate that, but I would think that still that's probably not the safest thing to do.
Yeah, because then you're gonna cause you might cause a crash.
You're gonna have somebody who's gonna road rage all up on you and just fucking wreck you and tell you, well, he was the one in my lane, and you're gonna go back and forth with who was actually at fault. It is what it is, but just slow down. Like, I mean, in hell, if you gotta slow every motherfucker behind you, there's not gonna be a single officer in this state that will ever get mad at you for slowing everybody behind you down. Never.
I'm in a big ass truck, so I can slow down. I can't see you, so I don't. My feelings ain't hurt.
So, I'm going on a tangent. Anyways, okay, pull over to the right all the way. First thing, do not do a lot of moving. The only thing you should be doing, in my opinion.
So basically, stop eating your sandwich.
Stop eating your sandwich. Stop doing any of that shit. Just like, you pull over to the right. Immediately roll every single window down in your car. And if you're, as I say, like nighttime, if you could turn on every single light on your inside of your car, turn all those things on, and then just keep your hands on the steering wheel. Don't take your license out. Don't take your insurance out. Don't do none of that shit. Stay completely still. Only roll your windows down and turn your lights on if it's at night or something like that.
So you don't want to have someone that you don't want to have someone that's already already took their license out.
All I'm seeing as the officer, they're getting ready. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this dude has got a gun, or this dude may have some dope he don't want me to see.
So say that you pull me over. I roll my windows down. I turn my lights on. Where do you want my hands?
Steering wheel. And if you're a passenger, preferably touching the damn headliner of that car.
Not on the dash.
Or if you can see the seats, like if you got the seats like in front of you, like if you're a rear passenger, or if you're in the front dash, if you're on the dash or whatever, or if not, just the headliner. If you're like, you know what I mean, like you can't. I mean, unless you're that good with your feet. You really can't get killed unless if you see their hands, you know what I mean? The hands are going to do everything. The hands are the tell-all, be-all, everything.
Yeah.
If you see the hands, you know where the weapons are, you know what I mean? You know where everything's at.
I mean, let's say you're in that scenario and you walk up to the person, windows are down, lights are on, everything's like pinpoint to how you want it to be. Wouldn't it be like kind of suspicious as well? Like, who taught this person all this?
I would never, especially not even now and like this time and age, I would never think that that's suspicious.
So would it make you uneasy at all?
Mm-mm, not at all. Actually, that would, and no matter what situation, you should never be 100% at ease with anything until that car has left from your traffic spot.
Mm-hmm.
And even then.
Don't ever download them.
You could have the nicest guy talking to you, everything going perfect, everything being, if you as an officer at any point get comfortable enough to where you let your guard down to get killed, you've then already fucked up. Like, no matter how nice it, you gotta always think, you something can happen.
And I guess that will go to, my question. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I barely turned 21, and I was gifted a AK pistol, whatever,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will say, oh, the police profiled me and pulled me over or whatever, but my thing was always like, I guess I'm a Hispanic Latin guy. I'm a mixture,
You're
a minority.
You're getting racially profiled.
So, people will assume that I'm getting profiled because of the place, the area we live in,
Not just the area, just the time we live in right now.
Well, the time. And people, typically, if going by what people say, I will get profiled by my race, right? And I always felt like, man, I was young, I had an AK in my car, and it's like, I never been pulled over, I had never broken the law, I have never done anything to put me in a situation that I don't have to get pulled over, and I got my fucking AK in my fucking passenger seat,
Yeah.
But even then, like, my car has the darkest windows. You can't even see through it. There's no light. I don't even think you can see through with a flashlight inside the car. The only way you can see it is if you go up to the windshield, because the windshield is not tinted. But I mean, like a month ago, I got pulled over, and my first reaction, I pulled over into a parking lot, and before he even got off, I already had my windows rolled down, and I already had my license, my insurance, and I handed over to him, you know?
Yeah.
I was already ready, you know? I didn't even put that thought of, like, oh, man, this motherfucker's gonna kill me, or, you know?
Like, a lot of that I see, I mean, a lot of that it can be, it's getting popularized in our culture right now, like, just in general culture, and, like, just recently I was watching the new Tyler Perry movie, the funeral one, I guess the last one he said he was going to do with Madea, but the whole thing that he was bringing up about, because there's a scene in the movie where they're going to get pulled over by a cop, and everyone in the car is kind of jokingly about it, like, oh, you're going to get shot, you're going to get pulled over by a cop, you're going to get pulled over by a cop, you're going to get shot, and Tyler Perry's character, Brian in there, said that, like, no, I'm going to show you guys how to properly, you know, what you're supposed to do. I'm going to pull out my ID, I'm going to pull out, you know, my insurance, I'm going to put my hand on the steering wheel, and, you know, this is how you're supposed to do it. Like, this is how you don't get shot, you know. And the thing that I hated about it, I mean, everything was okay, you know, up until that point. Until the cop actually showed up to the window, and the cop was started acting like a total douchebag. And I was like, so you pretty much just did all of that, and then you just killed all of it for a generalization of a cop that said, like, you know, just a one in, like, I don't know, like, just one cop to say, like, okay, well, this cop is racist, or this cop is, you know,
aggressive.
Yeah, aggressive. You know, being really aggressive with somebody. I'm like, so you just built that whole thing up just to get it destroyed. I'm like, man, like, so what are you really telling people? Like, what are you trying to tell people? And it's just a whole
kind of sounds like trying mentality. To tell people that the cop is the problem.
The cop is the problem. And I'm like, you know, that's not every cop. Not every cop is, you know, I don't know if you can attest to anything, like, you know, maybe there are some, you know, cops out there that don't always follow the way that they're supposed to, you know, do things, you know, but not every cop should be generalized as, like, okay, well, he's a bad cop. You can't just branch everybody like that. And just because you had, you know, maybe a bad experience with one cop doesn't mean that the next cop or, you know, this cop is, you know, going to be an asshole or going to be, you know, a good guy or whatever, you know, so... I just think that just in today's culture is just like is being fed to the majority, like, that, you know, cops are getting a bad rep.
Yeah,
you
know? So
it isn't. That's, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that's not really mentioned out. It's called the silent majority. There's a, I think for the
Reagan?
Most part,
Reagan? Nixon said that.
Nixon said it, but it's also been used here lately, like with a lot of like the anti-police stuff and stuff that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just pretty much to describe that, like, the majority of people do like police officers, but the thing is they're never voicing, like, their positive interactions. They're never voicing.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's always negative shit out there, but not positive shit. Mm-hmm. At least not enough. And it seems like lately there has been more. I'm not going to say why. Maybe change the presidency because, I don't know. But
hey! Anyway.
And so there's been a lot more positive, you know, interactions and stuff that do get shared out there. But the thing about it is nobody ever likes to be... To have anything assumed about their personality. Like, whenever you meet somebody, do you want anybody to assume that you're an asshole? Fuck no.
No.
The humans are social people. Like, all they want to do is be able to connect with somebody.
And it's just the social media today, bro. It's like,
yeah.
It's huge right now, man. Like, you can't, like, I don't even know you, but if I could search your name up, I already know your birthday. I already know this. And it's just,
well,
like,
you know what they want you to know, because even then, you have no idea if it was a fake profile, if they made it when they were younger, to just get on it.
That's true.
Yeah.
A lot of it can be misconstrued.
Yeah.
It's, I think a lot of it nowadays is not about who's right, it's about who's first. You know what I mean?
And if it's
Denzel
not
Washington,
yeah.
I saw that. Yeah,
who?
Denzel Washington said that. He's there's some interview. He's talking to somebody with the Associated Press, and he's like just fucking going in on him about like, you know, you guys have more power than you think you do, and blah blah blah. He's like, nowadays it ain't about who's right, it's about who's first, and y'all, yeah. You know, y'all are messing.
And it's at a point right now where, like, just going to that, you know, it's about who's first. Like, there's a, now there's a narrative to where it's like, you know what, if I can get the last word in, then I won. Like, I've won over you. I'm like, so you're saying that we can't have just a regular conversation?
Yeah.
Like you always have to go at me at something. I'm like, okay, so if I agree with you about something, like, you know, anti-cop or pro-cop or, you know, just in a general view, like, these are my reasons, these are your reasons, but you're always pushing a narrative on me, like saying like, okay, well, I don't agree with that, but why do you have to continuously shoving this shit in my face?
Like, yeah, everything is so divided. There's no middle ground, it seems like.
No, not anymore. No,
it's kind of like that Steven Crowder or whatever, where he's like, we got to find a mutual ground, like something that we could agree on.
Yeah, nobody ever wants to do that anymore. It's always gonna be like, you know, my way is the right way. It's not, you know, everybody's way. It's gonna be mine. I don't know. It's really shitty, but yeah.
So to get to my question,
yes,
I think we went all around it. But I guess since I was telling you about how I had my AK or whatever, do you feel more comfortable, like if you get handed like a license to carry?
Yeah, I do, cause believe it or not, like when you have a most people already know this, but when you have a license to carry, when an officer checks your information, it will show up that person has a license to carry. Now, if you hand me your license to carry, that indicates one of two things usually. I'm a law-abiding citizen because you obviously know to hand it over. Second off, you're doing the courteous thing by letting the officer know, hey, there's a gun in the car. And people always get a kick out of this shit because every time somebody hands me a license to carry,
uh-huh.
I always tell every time, and I always tell them this. They say, is it your license to carry? I said, okay, without reaching for it, where's your firearm at? And they'll be like, it's on my hip, it's in the console, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, all right, I'll tell you what. If your gun stays where yours is at, mine will stay where mine's at. Deal?
That's what she said.
And every time. And everybody's like, oh my God, yeah, that's so funny. Everybody gets a kick out of it.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's a weird-ass fucking joke.
But it's true, though.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
My gun's not going to come out if yours doesn't. You know what I mean? That's all it is. I'm not going to bring a knife to a gunfight. I'm going to bring a gun to a gunfight. So that's
true.
You know, but to go back to what you were talking about, yeah, I like it when people do that because, like, I'd rather not go back to the car, check your stuff out, and then realize, like, damn, this dude has a license to carry, and then be like, shit, you know what I mean? He didn't even tell me there was a gun in the car because he was supposed to if he has a license to carry and didn't display it. That doesn't necessarily... this is my opinion. This is Texas. To me, mm-hmm. Everybody has a goddamn gun.
Like,
everybody has a gun. That's how I see it. I don't ever just assume, like, I just assume everybody... Honestly, I'm telling you. I assume everybody has a gun.
And so
because that license to carry thing isn't displayed doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to automatically rule out you don't have a gun.
Right.
And so, yeah. It's a nice thing to do.
And just to clarify to listeners who may or may not be from... You know what? Listeners who are not from Texas, when we refer to ourselves as Texans, like... And we refer to ourselves as Texans first before we're Americans... I don't know. That's just me. That's what I just feel
I
like.
Do. I always, yeah. I'm from Texas.
I'm from Texas.
Yeah,
I never say I'm American. Like, we're all from Texas, bro.
Texas was its own country at one point.
Yeah, we were.
I'm motherfucking Texas.
We're Texas proud, bro.
I'm Texas proud. Yeehaw. Yeah. Texas is probably one of the few states that has such pride in its own heritage. I think Texas.
So, okay, for example, I gave my license to Gary, but I didn't tell him if I had it on me. Is there something wrong there, or just...
Now, by law, you're only required to display that license if you actually have it with you in the car. It's a good little courteous thing to do to still display it, even if you don't have it. Because, like I said, if you don't display it and go back and the cop sees that, you know, there's a license to carry on your record, you're just thinking you got something to hide, maybe. You know what I mean? That's not necessarily it. I don't ever think that somebody's just trying to hide something. But it's just one of those things. It's just kind of like, hey, I have a gun, yeah.
Okay, so...
I'd rather know that you have a gun as opposed to me having to find out.
So would it be more etiquette, like, give the license to carry and like I have it with me or on me?
Yeah.
Or
how did, yeah, just if you're giving your license and your license to carry, which if you have it you're supposed to, but if you do that, it's proper etiquette to be like, hey, here's my license to carry. I'm not gonna grab it. I'm not gonna grab my firearm, but it is in the. It's if you have a license, it's not supposed to be in your door panel. But like, you know, you're supposed to say, "Hey, I have it. It's on my holster right here next to my hip, and, or it's in my center console. It's concealed or something like that."
Because I gave my license to carry, and he had asked me, "Oh, do you have it on you today?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh no, I don't have it with me." Because
most officers will ask, but I mean, just in case they don't, it's good just to go ahead and say it. Just it's just one of those extra little things that you kind of throw in there that shows like, hey, I'm like, I kind of, you know, I know the law and I'm supposed to tell you what's out.
Will they help me get off a ticket?
I'll tell you this much, when it comes to that, okay, when it comes to that shit, I always tell people all the time, like all the time, and this is outside of work obviously, I'll tell them on the traffic stop. I don't go up to people and be like, you know, if you were nice, I would have given you a warning. You know, I don't do that shit. I'm saying this, what I tell people outside of work is if you have the best attitude with that officer, I mean, sorry, you're super nice, Mr. Rogers, all 100% through, you have at least a 50-50 chance of not getting a citation
mm-hmm.
versus if you're a jerk and, like, increasing those chances. I'm not saying that, I'm not condoning by any means that that is the right stance for any officer to take.
Right.
I'm speaking on terms of like me as a person, like as a human being.
Yeah.
When if you have kids and your kid comes up to you and said, "Mom, Dad, can I please have a ice cream popsicle or something?"
Yeah.
They're coming up to you and asking you nicely for it. You know, you're gonna be like, "Yeah, you can have one. You ask nicely."
Yeah.
Now, if you have a bratty little kid coming up to you and be like, "Dad, give me an ice cream. You're an asshole." Are you gonna be like, "Yo, oh, here you go. You can have here's $100 too. Fucking go to Kmart or some shit." No, you're gonna tell them to go fuck
go
off and go to your room.
Kmart.
I said that because I thought it would just be like the most off shit.
So
to say, like,
so
the most
what would you do?
go to Kmart.
Do they still exist?
There's
not
they
in
just
Texas, so.
Not in Texas, but I think they exist in other states.
Up north,
yeah, like up north. Yeah, up north. Yeah, that's
yeah.
what they do. But not like
out of all the things.
So how
show your age.
Yeah, that shows your age for real.
This
if you show Kmart, you definitely show your age.
Go to Circuit City.
Circuit City? Oh, man. That was a lit-ass commercial. So, cuckoo. So, how would you feel if you pull someone over and before you get out of the car, they started playing the Bad Boys theme?
Oh my god!
Love me.
Oh my god! I've been on calls and people do that, and this is just me.
Oh, it happens.
It's happened to me. Yeah, it's happened to me. I'm not gonna lie. Like, this is again my opinion. I fucking hate that shit. I can't fucking stand it.
Oh,
it's the most. It's fucking annoying.
Oh,
I cannot
no.
fucking stand that. It's
oh,
so fucking dumb to
come
me.
On.
It's one of those things that, like, people, like, when, again, like, if I don't know how many times I'll go to, like, a little party or whatever, and the people there already know I'm a cop, and the first thing they do when I walk is, "I didn't do it," and they throw their hands up. Oh, my fucking God. I've never heard that joke before. That's so fucking hilarious.
Like, you gotta get creative.
I hate that. It's so annoying. I've heard every single lame joke there is to be said.
What are some lame jokes? Tell me some jokes.
The main one is where people's like, "Oh, I didn't do it." That shit, I'm just like... And then another one's like, "Oh, hey, take him. Look, hey, he's over here stealing shit. Go steal him. Go take him to jail." It's funny. And another one is... they're like, "Oh, look, all the, like, if we're all in a restaurant, we go to eat in a Mexican restaurant, and there's always that one smartass that'll be like, "Hey, all the guys are back and go fucking rob a bank right goddamn now and get away with it."
Oh my god.
I remember one time years back, this old sergeant used to work there. We were going to lunch. This is when I was a reserve officer. We weren't going to Don Chano's. It was like a little restaurant. I was like, I don't even think they don't have one where I live at now, but there's a few still kind of like, it's a little small.
Don Chano.
It's a little Tex-Mex place.
Oh, actually?
There's one there, I think.
Yeah.
The one that I'm talking about is in a nearby city, undisclosed location. Anyways. So we're walking in, me and my sergeant, we're parking, we're going to lunch, we're walking up to the damn building, and this fucking smartass. He's with his wife. He gets closer to the door because we're still a distance from the door. He gets to the door. He walks up. He looks at us, and then he looks at the sign, almost like he's wondering what the fuck, like when he's looking at the sign.
Uh-huh.
And then he stops, and then he looks again, and he's like, oh, man, I'm sorry, man, I thought this was a damn donut shop. Fucking funny, oh my god, fucking donut.
Fucking,
that donut shit gets so old, too, it's like,
I was, you know,
cops of donuts, you know who else likes donuts?
Who else?
Fucking everybody else. Everybody else loves fucking donuts. I can tell you my theory where that shit started from is that back in the day the only thing, like the only restaurants that would be open that early in the morning would be fucking donut shops.
7-Eleven wasn't open.
That's my theory. That's how they got the donuts. Is, you know, cops would always
eat that. That's like a fucking joke that I always hear.
What?
Hey man, let me get a free case of beer. Like, god damn, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. It was, oh, fuck it, since you asked me for a free case, here you go. Oh my god, yeah.
This is for pantalones, right?
Yeah, you're like, hey, man, can I get a pair of pants?
Hey, bro, what's up, bro? Give me the honor to say, well, hookup, bro.
Hey, what if the homeless guy asked you for a pair of pants? You'd probably be like, fuck, yeah, maybe I should give him
I'm sorry, bro, it's all free
man,
sold, dog.
Yeah, it's free sold. Hey, so
it's
you know
all free sold.
I'll give you $12, you go to Fias Paredes, just go get you some money.
I've seen some crazy shit happen. Like, some shit like that. So, it's like maybe like 5, 6 in the morning, and we're waiting for like a store to open. And we're fucking sitting there.
What are you doing?
And sitting there waiting for it to open.
What are you doing?
Bitch,
what are you doing? Let it, like, I'll try
just
to say my
the
story.
Truck,
let
asshole.
Me say my story.
Sitting in the fucking truck, asshole. Nah. But my driver at that time, he smoked. Whatever.
Yeah.
So he rolled down his passenger window, and his driver window.
Right.
And he was smoking and sticking his hand out the window. So I shit you not, we're talking. He takes a fucking puff.
Uh huh.
Fucking puts his hand out the window to, I guess.
Oh my god! Someone did not come up and grab his cigarette,
bro. They didn't even grab it. Somebody put their mouth up to
it.
Oh
my god!
No
yes,
shame,
bro.
No shame in their game.
Okay, I got one thing with that. I know those trucks, and I know that they have two mirrors. They have a close sight, and they have the far sight. How the hell did he not? Well, you know, because you're higher up. That's all right. I guess he came in. Okay.
We're higher up, and then we were sitting there talking about some random
shit.
Not
paying attention at the mirrors at that time.
You're not doing your Smith keys, I guess.
So going back to like what Lewis was saying, like a routine traffic stop. So
yeah,
you get to the point, but so for me, I've never been pulled over or anything like that. But I usually either keep my wallet in my back pocket or in my like map pocket of my door. So. Like, should I get it out and put it, like, on my lap before reach the window, or wait till you get there and ask for it?
Wait, I think that was one of the things. I was trying to think of what I had left out. That was one of them. Like I said, whenever...
if it's on my person, then I'll be like, can I move to get it?
I wouldn't necessarily word it like that, because that just makes me feel like shit. Like, you're like, can I move to get it? I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like... It's like, I don't ever want to feel like anybody needs to necessarily ask for permission to
do
something.
Do I have to go, can I ask? Can
you know
I
what I mean? Like, yeah, on a traffic stop, I don't necessarily want anybody to ask for permission, but I'm more so like being informative. So like if you, from beginning to get-go, you pull over to the right, roll your windows down, turn all your lights on if it's dark, keep your hands on the steering wheel, just keep it there until that officer tells you what the deal is. And then once they're telling you all that, like, hey, reason I stopped you because they're supposed to tell you why they stopped you for all that. There's policies that says you have to do that, so you do that, and then so they will ask you for your license and your insurance, and then you'll as the guy being stopped, they'll be like, hey, don't move your hands, just keep your hands in. Just be like, hey, my wallet's in my back pocket, can I go ahead and get it? Yeah, go ahead and get it. Next thing with the insurance, like, don't just reach for it. I'm like, hey, my insurance is in my glove box. I need to go get it. Can I get it? Yeah, that's the best thing you can do. And any officer that gets offended by telling us in that fashion is, in my opinion, just needs to.
I mean, they could be having a bad day too.
That's true. I'll admit, like, there's a lot. Man, that's another big topic. Like,
I mean, because it could have been like the routine or the traffic stop before that. It could have been like a jerk.
That's the thing though. Like, in my opinion, the whole, like, people who, and I've met people that hang on to that shit. Like, after they've made a stop and they get, like, the most asshole guy that you probably think of, and they hang on to that shit all day and just think about it. That's fucking stupid.
But the next person is not the same person.
Because you're human. No matter what, once you're angry about something, if you let it foster, it'll just stay there.
Yeah, that'll hit again, no chum chum.
it'll just stay there, and you'll just keep, it'll come out in some, either your mannerisms or the way you say some shit. That you're still mad about it. I can tell you right now with 100% truth, when I'm done with a traffic stop, those feelings are gone. Anything that's done. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because if you keep holding on to that shit, all that's going to do is mess with you on your next thing. Case in point, in McKinney, I don't know if y'all heard about this, a long time ago, there was a party, a lot of kids, McKinney, there's a lot of kids kind of partying. It was during the summer.
The pool party?
Yeah. That corporal.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't remember the exact details of how all this shit, before that, but what I do remember, because I was in a training class, somebody had mentioned this. Before that call, because you remember the big deal about it, right? Is that he wanted to gun at all these kids that were just kids, acting stupid because they're kids. Before that call had come out, he had responded to a suicidal person who blew his fucking head off the phone. In front of him.
Oh,
as he was trying to talk him down or some shit. That's what I remember hearing somebody say. And so, and he's a corporal. And then McKinney, that's even the corporal's, it's the boss. You don't tell the boss what. You know what I mean? That's that culture or whatever. It's whatever. So, by nobody telling that corporal, hey man, you've already had a bad day, dude. Somebody just blew their brains in front of you. You need to probably go home or not respond to this next call.
Mm-hmm.
Not excusing his actions, but I'm saying it didn't help that he was still coming down from that, damn, I couldn't even save this person's fucking life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And having all those feelings still, foster, and then you're going to then this next call right off the back and still having it. That's how shit like that happens. Pointing guns at people.
So do you think that when it comes to high pressure situation like that, do you feel that it should be mandatory that cops, whenever they deal with such a trauma like that, do you feel that they should automatically just either be dismissed, or not dismissed, but just go home or just have some counsel time or something like that?
100%, I feel so. Mm-hmm. Because, I don't know if you guys follow stats. I don't know who all follow stats about, the highest, law enforcement deaths or whatever like that. It's becoming a trend. It's kind of starting near the tail end of last year, but this year alone, there has been more officers committing suicide than there actually has been being killed by suspects on calls.
Mm.
There was one yesterday I read in, where was it? New York. It was in New York. 30-year-odd veteran. His whole life was NYPD. He was found dead in his car, in his squad car, with a gun hole in his fucking head because he killed himself because he had to retire. He was 2 days away from retirement.
Oh, shit.
He was forced to retire because in New York Police Department, the requirement is at 62 years old, you're required to retire. His whole life was NYPD. You're pretty much telling him, your whole life's done. You know what I mean? That's what it's being painted as for that guy because he was all about NYPD.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole saying that I always hear. I don't ever get so invested in especially in the professional law enforcement because it's like that old saying goes, the job is a whore, don't love it because it'll never love you back. I never get invested like that because and some people get invested like that guy did. He fucking killed himself because he knew he was going to retire. It's just well, fuck it. You know what I mean? Or I don't know what other demons he was battling before that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, that depression, that shit's real. All those fucking, all that shit's real. And a lot of officers are very dismissive. A lot of officers are so prideful and feeling like that if I do not acknowledge the fact that I am depressed, have anxiety, or have this, that I am being weak, and you could possibly be seen as either a flight risk, being weak against other guys around you that are not, just because they're their life's good. Not everybody's life's same.
Yeah.
So all that say is, if you are experiencing something traumatic like that right in front of you, you need to call that shit a day, man.
Yeah.
You probably need to call that shit a couple of days.
Yeah. So.